Okay. So, first of all, the term test was graded and will be returned today, though I prefer to do it at the end of the class, so I'll stop 5 minutes early and we will return the exams and discuss them. Second, homework 5 is on the web. And third, there is a handout in the back, so you can have a copy. What is it now? Fourth, let's go back to class material. So first of all, a few reminders. So we were en route to solving the differential equation y dot is ay. So remember that when we differentiate with respect to t, I call the derivative dot and I switch to t. So it really doesn't matter. It's y prime equals ay, where a is a matrix, with y0 equal to y sub 0. And we're hoping that the solution will be given by matrix exponentiation. And we started defining matrix exponentiation. So we defined it using a power series. And then we've proven a bunch of properties, and I just want to remind you what they were. Okay? So first of all, it converges, and in fact, it converges well. So convergence is never an issue in any of the properties below, and I don't even discuss it further. Second, the exponential of the zero matrix is the identity matrix. Third, the exponential of the diagonal matrix with on diagonal entries lambda I, so this is just my notation, is equal to the diagonal matrix with on diagonal entries e to the lambda I. Third, so that's actually the key to computation. So everything or almost everything will reduce to computing the exponential of diagonal matrices. Third, if two matrices commute, then their exponentials are, then the exponential of the sum is the product of the exponentials, like for real numbers. However, there are lots of pairs of matrices that do not commute. So this is not a general property. 5 is a special case of that, but I thought it was worthwhile to write it. 6, the derivative with respect to time of e to the ta is, well, just like you would expect from real numbers, okay? And again, I mentioned last time that this is the derivative with respect to this extra parameter t. And that's why I bothered to put t everywhere, so that I can use it later, okay? So that I can use it here. This is somehow not the derivative with respect to a, right? In real numbers, you'd expect to have d to dA, e to the a equals what? Well, also e to the a, okay? But this is not what we're doing. This is something slightly different. The formula is like the formula for the real numbers, but if you try to imitate the real number formula directly, you get something that, well, if you work hard and make sense of it, it becomes false, okay? So, you know, no such thing. Okay, and finally, if you conjugate a matrix, then the exponential is the conjugate of the exponential. Okay, so the exponential of C inverse DC is equal to C inverse e to the DC. And the point of that is that you can write almost every matrix as C inverse DC. So almost every matrix can be diagonalized. So for almost every A, you can write e to the A as e to the C inverse DC. Then that's equal to C inverse e to the DC. And e to the d was computed here. So in principle, we know how to compute matrix exponentials in almost every case. Not quite in every case. And for the remaining cases, we will have to work a tiny bit further. So actually, maybe I should have left here room for property 8, which is the property that will be needed for the remaining matrices. Okay, I think it's best, so, you know, in principle, if you have perfect recollection of what you learned in linear algebra, then we're done. because I just told you how to exponentiate. But I think it's worthwhile to do an example. Okay, so let me do an example with sort of very practical tilt. I mean, I'll try to do it without thinking about diagonalization as an abstract thing, but rather I'll be thinking of it as a concrete thing. Okay? So, so the example is, let's just solve one specific example. So solve the differential equation x dot, so the derivative of x with respect to t is equal to 4x minus 6y, and the derivative and y dot, the derivative of the second variable, is 3x minus 5y, subject to the initial condition x0 is equal to 2 and y0 is equal to negative 1. Okay? So, let's do it. So, first of all, let me write it in a matrix fashion, in a matrix way. So, let's write, let v denote the vector xy. Okay? And then this matrix, and then this equation becomes v dot is equal to av with v0 equals 2, negative 1, and with a being the matrix, let's see, 4, negative 6, 3, negative 5. Did I get it right? Do I do matrix multiplication correctly? Somebody should say yes or no, because otherwise yes. I cannot continue. Okay, thanks. Good. So the next thing is to diagonalize this matrix. So diagonalize this matrix means that this matrix should somehow be converted, conjugated, to a matrix of the form lambda 1, lambda 2. Okay, only diagonal entries. Okay, now, I don't even remember if you have to multiply by C on the left or on the right, or C inverse on the right or on the left. I'll figure it out when I come to it. Okay? But the basic point is that if this matrix is conjugate to this matrix, it means that there exists a basis of, well, let's call it V1, V2, of R2, such that with respect to this basis, yes?
I'm sorry, is that supposed to be the other way around? 4 minus 6?
No, I think this is it. Because you see, when you multiply this by xy, you're right. Thank you.
What?
Thank you very much. You're right. 4 minus 6, 3, negative 5. Shame on me. Okay. Anyway, so there exists a basis V1, V2 of R2 such that with respect to this basis, the matrix looks like this, which amounts to saying that A V1 is lambda 1 V1, and A V2 is lambda 2 V2, which amounts to saying that A minus lambda 1 identity V1 is equal to 0, and A minus lambda 2 identity V2 is equal to 0, which amounts to saying that the matrix A minus lambda 1 or A minus lambda 2, so these two matrices should be singular, meaning should not be invertible, should have a zero determinant. So the next thing I want to do is to figure out when A minus lambda I has a zero determinant. So I'm writing the determinant of A minus lambda I. And, well, I suppose I just have to copy I mean, this is the determinant of 4 minus lambda minus 6, 3, negative 5 minus lambda, right? And this, I believe, is, let's see, so, you know, I did do it at home, but let's see if I can do it in real time. So it's lambda squared minus plus lambda, let's see, minus lambda times negative 5, so it's plus lambda, and then minus, so what's 4 times minus 5? Minus 20, minus 18, no, minus 20 plus 18, that's minus 2, isn't it right? Okay, so, but you know, if you don't believe me, you just compute it. So lambda 1 and 2 are the roots of this. So you get them by solving lambda squared plus lambda minus 2 is equal to 0. And you get, let's see, I need two numbers whose product is negative 2 and whose sum is negative 1. So it's negative 2 and 1. Now let me compare it with what I had at home. Yeah, it's that's what I had at home. Good. So so now I need to find these two vectors, v1 and v2. So to find v1, I need to solve a minus lambda 1, so minus minus 2, identity times v1 is equal to 0. Okay? So let's see, what is a minus negative 2? So this is 6, negative 6, 3, negative 3 times V1 is equal to 0, and therefore V1 is equal to, what's V1? Something that will kill this. So I think it's 1-1. Okay? Something that will get annihilated by this matrix, so it's 1-1. Are you okay? Am I wasting your time? Okay. So let's do the second one now. So a minus lambda 2, so minus 1 times the identity, v2 should be equal to 0. So a minus 1 times the identity is 3, negative 6, 3, negative 6, times v2 should be 0. So v2 should be... what would kill this? So 2-1, I believe. 2-1. Am I right? Okay. So, you know, I could do it with more effort, but if I can do it with just seeing, it's better. Okay? So, therefore, the matrix A should be equal to C times D times C inverse, or maybe C inverse DC, and I can never remember which one, so I have to think about it each time afresh, and I'll tell you how I think about it, where C is the change of basis matrix, which amounts to saying it's the matrix whose columns are V1 and V2. So C is the matrix V1, V2, which in our case is, what was it? 1, 1, 2, 1. Okay? So how do I figure out which one it is? Well, so I guess what I need to know, right, so I just think, okay, So AV1 should be 0. Sorry, what am I doing? AV1 should be lambda 1 times V1. Right? So which of these, when I feed it with V1, will give me lambda 1 V1? So if I take the top one and feed it with V1, well, you know, I've just inverted. The matrix C takes 1, 0 to V1. So the matrix C inverse will take V1 to 1, 0. Okay? So if I feed this with V1, I will get, after I multiply by C inverse, I will get 1, 0. 1, 0 gets multiplied by lambda 1. I guess I should have said that here D is the diagonal matrix that we are seeking. And then, so I'll get lambda 1 times 1, 0. And then I'm multiplying by C, and I'm getting back again lambda 1 times V1. So this is the right one. In my head, I checked where does V1 go under this one, under the left and under the right, and I saw it goes to the right place. So therefore, I now know that this is the right one. And this one can be removed. Sorry for being so practical. I don't remember these things. I have to check them each time afresh. Was it clear how I checked it? Here's another check, by the way. So alternatively, you could have written this as C inverse AC is equal to D. Okay? So let's fit this with E1, the standard unit basis. Okay? So basis element. So fit both sides with E1 and we see if we get the same thing. So here we will get lambda 1 E1. Here we will get C times E1 will give us V1. Okay, so here we will get E1 by C will go to V1 by A, by the choice, will go to lambda 1 V1. And then C inverse takes V1 back to E1. So we'll get lambda 1 E1, which is what we wanted. Okay, so, and this equation is equivalent to this one. Okay, sorry for not being able to remember binary amounts of information. But anyway, now I know that this formula is true. And therefore, the solution to the differential equation is V of t, which is e to the a t times V0, which is e to the t times C d C inverse times V0, which is C e to the t d C inverse times V0, which is I guess now I just have to copy. So C is the matrix 1, 1, 2, 1. E to the TD is, well, I'm exponentiating a diagonal matrix whose entries are, so I forgot what they were, negative 2 and 1. Am I right? So I'm exponentiating a diagonal matrix whose entries are negative 2t and 1t. So I get e to the negative 2t, e to the t, 0, 0. And then I have to multiply by C inverse. And oh my god, this is yet another one of these things that I never know how to do. So let's see. What is the determinant? 1 times 1. So the determinant is negative 1. So I'm supposed to take minus 1, minus 1, what is it? Minus 2, minus 1? Is this it?
2. 2 and 1 because minus 1 determinant?
Oh, because, okay, so 2 and 1. Okay, if you say, let's check this. Yes, yeah, it looks right. Okay. Times V0, which, oh my God, and again I erase what I shouldn't have erased, but it's 2 negative 1, and, well, I don't know what comes out. This is not just a ordinary matrix multiplication. So, I mean, I would consider the problem solved. Is this okay? Okay. So, in general, this works. So this or similar or the same thing generalized to n to n by n matrices. This works whenever the matrix A has n distinct eigenvalues. Eigenvalues, meaning whenever the equation written here, whenever this chi A of lambda, this polynomial, which is defined to be the determinant of A minus lambda I, has n different roots. Because if you have n different roots, you can find v1, v2, up to vn, and you found it, well, and that will give you the diagonalization matrix. It works better if the n distinct roots are real. Because if the n roots are all real, as they were here, then everything along the story is a real number. If some of the roots are complex numbers, then you'll have complex numbers here, and complex numbers in C, and complex numbers in C inverse. But at the end, since we started from a real problem, the result should be real. So you have so after you multiply all the matrices together, you'll get back again real numbers, but along the way, you'll be working with complex numbers. So Jordan, later in the tutorial, will show you how it happens, or we'll give you an alternative way to deal with the case of a complex root. Okay? But in principle, this works whether the roots are real or complex. It's just if they are complex, you'll have complex numbers as intermediate steps. Now, what if the... what if n does not have distinct roots? What if the characteristic polynomial does not have n distinct roots? Okay? So, first of all, this is the minority case. Okay, if you take a random matrix, its characteristic polynomial will have n distinct roots. Okay? But occasionally you find a matrix for which this is not true. Okay? So we're done for most matrices, but not for all. So in the remaining case, so otherwise, we have to use a harder theorem from linear algebra, and it's called, well, it's theorem, and it's called the Jordan canonical form, and it has nothing to do with the Jordan in this room. Sorry, I hope you forgive me. Anyway, so here is the theorem. It says, so first of all, we have a vector space V, which is a vector space over the complex numbers. In fact, I don't need it to be over the complex numbers. It's enough that it's over some algebraically closed field, whatever that is. But the complex numbers will do. Okay? So if we have a vector space V, and if we have a linear transformation T going from V to itself, then there is a basis, what should I call it, beta equals V1 up to Vn of V, such that if you write the linear transformation T relative to that basis, using that basis, so I'm not sure what notation you've used for that in linear algebra, so let me hereby declare that the notation is T relative to the basis beta. Okay, again, I don't care, it doesn't matter what notation you use, this is now the notation. Okay, let's call this matrix D. So it's not diagonal, but it plays the role of the diagonal matrix. And instead of being diagonal, it is so-called block diagonal. So block diagonal means that you can divide it into blocks. And other than on these blocks, it is zero. So it is zero everywhere, except on these blocks, B1, B2, B3, well, and so on. Okay? And each of these blocks looks like, so, I mean, not only it is block diagonal, but the blocks have a special form. Okay? So each of these blocks looks like the following. So it has a number lambda I on the diagonal. So where lambda I is in fact one of the eigenvalues of the matrix. Below the diagonal it has zeros, and the column which is right above the diagonal has ones and only ones. So a diagonal which is right, the diagonal right above the main diagonal has ones in it. So you have a diagonal of ones, and then you have a bunch of zeros. Have you seen this theorem? Okay. So now I have two questions. First of all, how do I exponentiate such a matrix? And second, how do I find such a matrix in practice, right? In practice, if you give me a matrix A representing a linear transformation, how do I find the basis beta relative to which I get this? Okay? And neither is hard, but both take a little bit of time. So let's do the exponentiation first. So first of all, what's e to the matrix D, or t times d? You know, let me just write d in this case. If you want t times d, you just multiply every block by t. Okay. Okay, so what's the exponential, what's e to the matrix D? So, you see, when you multiply block, so, okay, the key is to take powers of T, okay? Because exponentiation is defined using powers of T. But powers of a block diagonal matrix, the different blocks don't interact. You just end up taking each block to its power, to some power independently. You know what, maybe I'll, rather than writing it, rather than saying it, I'll do an example. So if D is the matrix B1, B2, 0, 0, where B1 and B2 are blocks, okay? They're not individual entries, okay? Then d squared is, so how do you compute d squared? You put b1, b2, 0, 0. You put another copy of b1, b2, 0, 0, and then you multiply, right? So when you look at this entry of the or this part of the product, you end up multiplying b1 and columns of B1 with rows of B1, so you'll end up computing B1 squared. When you look at entries here, you'll end up computing, you'll end up multiplying rows of, sorry, columns of B1 with zeros, so you'll get zero. Likewise here, you'll be multiplying zeros from here with rows of B1, so you'll be getting zero, and also, sorry, columns of B2 with zeros from here, so you'll be getting zero. And down here, you'll just be multiplying columns of B2 with rows of B2, so you'll be getting B2 squared. And then this will persist. If you look at higher powers, you'll get higher powers. When you sum, the summation goes independently over the blocks. So overall, the result is e to the b1 as a first block, then e to the b2 as a second block, and so on. So the moral is, it is enough to compute the exponential of a single block, e to the t times bi, where bi is just one of the blocks. Okay? So let me do it. So first of all, bi, let me write it in the following way. So bi is lambda I times the identity plus, so it's this, plus something that happens only above the diagonal. Let's call that something j. Okay? So where j is the matrix that has zeros on the diagonal, zeros below the diagonal, right above the main diagonal it has ones, and everywhere else it has zeros. Okay? So now, what is e to the t bi? It's equal to e to the t lambda I, sorry, lambda I identity plus t j. Now, can I factor this? I mean, can I not factor? Can I use the fact that the exponential of a sum is equal to the product of the exponentials? In general, no. In this particular case, the two matrices definitely commute. I mean, I don't know what J commutes with, but I commutes with everything. It's the identity. Okay, so I can definitely rewrite this as e to the t lambda I identity times e to the t j's, e to the t j. And now I have two problems to solve separately. One is how to exponentiate tj, and the other is how to exponentiate this one. Well, the first problem is too easy. I mean, this is the matrix that on the diagonal has t lambda I. Exponentiating, you get the matrix that has on the diagonal e to the t lambda I. So this is the matrix, sorry, so this is the matrix e to the t lambda I times the identity. Okay? I mean, just this will give that. And then I still have to compute e to the tj, and I suppose this I have to do on the side. So, let's do it on the side. So, you see, so again, okay, so sorry, I suppose I need to take powers of j. So what's j times j? What's j squared? So you know what? Rather than telling you, or rather than computing on the board, which is a bit sort of a boring thing, I will let you check it for yourself. The result is that it's the matrix that has zeros on the diagonal, zeros on the diagonal above the diagonal, and ones above. Okay? And if you compute j cubed, you find that it's the same, except the ones get moved even further on. So you get one diagonal of 0, second diagonal of 0, third diagonal of zeros, and then on the fourth one, you'll get 1s, and so on. Okay? So in fact, let me write it as a formula. So let me just write it as a formula. So j to the power k, it's ij entry is equal to, so let's see, right, I denotes the row number and j denotes the column number, and in general the column number should be bigger than the row number to have a 1. So if j minus I is equal to k, you get 1, and otherwise you get 0. Okay? This is just by direct computation. And in fact, this is even true if k is equal to 1. If k is equal to 1, you get that if the column number is 1 more than the row number, then you get 1, which is exactly the j we started from. And it's also true when k is equal to 0, because when k is equal to 0, I expect it to be the identity. And if k is equal to 0, this is the definition of the identity matrix. Okay? So now, let's compute sum. Okay, sorry. Let's compute e to the tj. So e to the tj will be, it's sum of t to the k, j to the k, divided by k factorial. And let me write it in two ways. So way number one will be, I'll just write it as a big matrix and try to make sense of it. So first of all, you'll get the j to the 0 piece. The j to the 0 piece will contribute stuff on the diagonal, and nothing else will contribute anything on the diagonal, because all the higher powers of a j will only have entries above the diagonal. So, okay, but the diagonal contribution will simply be the identity. So you will get 1s on the diagonal. Ones on the diagonal. Sorry, it's a bit hard to make it clean. Okay, the next entry is t times j divided by 1. T times j will contribute to the diagonal above the main diagonal a factor of t. And all other contributions will be further above, so they will never interact. So you will get here t's. Then there is the next term, t squared, j squared divided by 2. J squared will contribute to the next diagonal. Nothing else will interact with it. And so I can just write it. So I'll get t squared over 2, t squared over 2, t squared over 2, t squared over 2, and I think I'm done. Then the next diagonal will get t cubed over 6, t cubed over 6, t cubed over 6. The next diagonal will be 2 to the 4 over 4 factorial, t to the 4 over 4 factorial. The last diagonal in our case will be 2 to the 5 over 5 factorial, and everything else is 0. And that's the answer. And of course, if the matrix is bigger, then you'll get higher powers of t. Okay? Here's an alternative way to write it. I mean, I can just write it as a formula. So I can write e to the tj, the ij entry of this is equal to, so let's see, if the row number is bigger than the column number, so if I is greater than j, if I'm below the main diagonal, I get zero. Otherwise, j minus I will be a non-negative integer, and the only contribution will be coming from if you call j minus I k, the only contribution will be coming from j to the k. So you will be getting t to the j minus I divided by j minus I factorial. Again, t to the k divided by k factorial. So this is if j is greater than or equal to I. Okay? I have nothing good to say about this matrix. Yes?
T to the 4 divided by 4 factorial.
Correct. Thanks. I have nothing good to say about this matrix. That's what it comes out to be. Period. Okay? In particular, I don't want to copy it here. This is the matrix, copy it in your mind. The result is e to the t lambda I times that mess. I mean, mess or not, it's a computable mess. Okay? So, how are we doing? Do we have time for an example? Maybe. Okay, let's try to do an example and see if it fits. So, example. So, solve the differential equation x dot is equal to 3x minus y, y dot is equal to x plus y, and I will never have time to feed in the initial condition, so I will not even bother to write it. Okay, you know what? Why am I wasting your time? X0, y0 is equal to the same as before. Okay? So, this is V0. The matrix A is the matrix 3, negative 1, 1, 1. The characteristic polynomial of this matrix is lambda squared minus the trace minus 4 lambda plus the determinant, which is 3 plus 1, which is 4. Okay? Which happens to be lambda minus 2 squared. So we're in the unlucky case where there is a repeating eigenvalue. Okay? You could check to see that there are no two eigenvectors, in fact, with this eigenvalue. There is only one eigenvector with this eigenvalue. So I still have to solve my problem. So I know that A will be conjugate to the matrix 2, 2, 1, 0. Sorry, 2, 1, 0, 2. Okay, the matrix with a Jordan block that looks like this. And I just have to find the vectors that do it. So what are the equations I need to solve? So I need to find a vector V1 such that AV1 is equal to, so again, V1 behaves as the first column dictates. So twice V1. And then I need to find a vector V2 so that AV2 is equal to V1 plus twice V2. So this I do, you know, just by hand, by the same, by plain linear algebra. So, let me say it differently. So, to find V1, well, V1 is a simple eigenvector. So I just have to find an eigenvector. So, and then once I found V1, I have to solve a certain non-homogeneous linear equation. So I solve it, and I find V2. Okay? So the conclusion is V1 is equal to, now I hope I'm not messing up, but at home I got that V1 is equal to, oh my god, I think 1 minus 1. Let's check that. 1, no, oops, sorry. Do I get... what's my other guess?
1, 0.
What? Oh, sorry, sorry. A. A, you know, A V1 should be 2 V1. So, A 1... No. Okay, I guess I'll have to. I guess I'll have to just solve for it.
1, 1.
1, 1. You think? Well, maybe. V one. Well, you know. Why don't we just solve for it? So, A minus 2. V one should be 0. A minus 2 is 1 minus 1. 1 minus 1, V1 should be 0, and you were right. V1 is 1, 1. Sorry. And now I need to find this one. So this one is A minus 2 times V2 should be V1, which is 1, 1. So I need to find a vector V2 so that 1 minus 1, 1 minus 1, V2 is equal to 1, 1. And I may as well take V2 be 1, 0. What? I think I'm right. Okay? So therefore, the matrix A is equal to, what was it? C, D, C inverse, by the same reasoning as before. So it's C is, okay, so let C be the matrix V1, V2. So I get here 1, 1, 1, 0 times D. D in our case is this one. So 2, 2, 1, 0 times C inverse, oh my god, 0, 1, 1, 1.
Minus 1, minus 1?
Minus 1 is here. No. Minus 1 here?
No, minus 1 in the top right and bottom
I don't
left.
No, sorry, I cannot invert 2 by 2 matrix.
Because the determinant's minus 1, right?
So it's minus 1 here? You know what? You know, 1, 1, 1, 0. Inverse. And we're done. Okay. Sorry for the rushing at the end. Time to return the exam. Sorry, again, sorry for rushing at the end. So about the exam, so the results were more or less as expected. I want you to read very carefully the guide to interpreting the results. Basically, if your results are excellent, you should feel good, but be worried that they will not drop next time. If your results are low, you should be worried. Okay, you should be very worried depending on how low they are. That's the point of the term exam. It's supposed to tell you where you are. And finally, before I actually return the exams, so there are always grading mistakes. By the way, this should be off now.